You know, it's very important for a church in its preaching calendar, in its yearly calendar, to make sure that we are reminded of our Lord's coming. It is a very important part of our teaching program, part of discipleship. And whilst it's important to learn different subjects from the pulpit or in our discipleship groups, whatever, it's very important to be reminded again that our Lord Jesus is coming. When God created the world, He created a sinless world, a sinless universe. The first man lived basically with every need met, without any curse, without any sickness, eternal life. But when man sinned against God, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, curse was brought into this world, into the whole universe, and man began to experience sicknesses, poverty, death, all kinds of brokenness and heartaches and all kinds of pain. And out of God's love for man, He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to be born into this world. When Jesus came upon this into this world, He grew up in a house of a carpenter called Joseph. And when He was about 30-something years old, He was baptized in the River Jordan and began His ministry, filled with the Holy Spirit, and began His public ministry. His ministry was filled with signs and wonders, miracles. He preached the gospel, raised the dead, healed the blind. He did so many miracles. He did so many proofs and signs that He was the Messiah. He was the promised one who would come to save the world from our sin. But after 3 years, 3.5 years, He was put upon a cross. He was killed on a cross by the Jewish and the Roman leaders. God meant it as His plan so that through His death, by faith, by grace, through faith, we might be saved. Amen, everyone. Through Jesus' death on the cross, we can be saved. When Jesus died on the cross, they took Him down off the cross and buried Him. On the third day, He rose from the dead. When He rose from the dead, He was seen by over 500 of His disciples alive. Paul actually writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, he says, over 500 people saw Jesus Christ alive after He rose from the dead. They talked with Him. He ministered to them. For 40 days, Jesus showed Himself alive. On the 40th day, in Acts 1:6, as He was talking to the disciples, He was taken up and He was received into a cloud and He disappeared. And two angels who were standing by in white looked at the disciples and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you look up? For in the same manner Jesus went to heaven, in the same manner He will also return." You see, Jesus Christ went up to heaven, but He will also return. The angel said, in the same manner you see Him go, in the same manner He will also return. And this is what I want to speak about this morning, is that Jesus Christ is coming back. And if you believe it, say amen. Amen. If you don't want Him to come back, I don't know what you'll say. But we as Christians, we want Him to come back. In His coming back, there will be two stages of His coming. You might not hear this preach normally, but I'm going to try to explain to you properly, very quickly, before I go on into the meat of what I'm wanting to teach you this morning. And He will come back basically in two stages. The first stage is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 down. And let us look at that for a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 down. And Paul writes and he says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." That is the first appearance, is that Jesus will appear in the clouds and the church plus the dead in Christ will rise from the dead and will go up to be with Jesus and we will disappear into heaven for 7 years. I don't have time to explain to you the timeline from Book of Daniel, but later on, one of these Sundays, I will teach you from Daniel that there's a timeline of 7 years from the time Jesus appears to take the church home to the time when he literally comes back upon this earth. There will be a timeline of 7 years. During those 7 years, there will be judgments upon this earth. The Book of Revelations lays it down in chronicle order, about 21 judgments. And judgments that the world has never seen before. In fact, the Bible says that God is going to shorten it, otherwise the elect will not be saved. It is going to be a terrible time of judgment. You will not want to remain behind during those 7 years. The church is going to be taken up before the judgments of God will fall upon this earth like we have never seen before. At the 3.5 period, at the midway mark of the 7 years, the Antichrist will be revealed. In Revelations 13, you will find that you will know him by his mark. There's a mark of the Antichrist. John the Apostle calls it 666. I believe it's because he was not able to understand computer language and all the things we see today. And he sees the Antichrist, and he says, you can identify him by this mark, 666. The Antichrist will rule at the 3.5 year mark, and he will take over the known world as we know it. And he will not allow anyone to buy or sell anything without the mark. Without putting the mark on your right hand or on your forehead, anyone who's here during that time will not be able to buy or sell anything without the mark. If you don't have the mark, most likely, this is in my thinking, you will be classified as a terrorist. They will hunt you down. But if you do take the mark, in Revelations 14 says that anyone who takes the mark of the beast will be tormented in the lake of fire forever. Wow, very difficult language using this morning, Pastor. But I have to tell you what I see from the Word of God. Revelations 14 says that anyone who takes the mark of the beast will be tormented in the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone forever. And so my encouragement to you, if by any chance you are left behind, God forbid that you are taken, you know, that you are left behind, my prayer is that everyone gets taken up when Jesus first appears. If you are left behind, never take the mark of the beast. I would rather die than take the mark of the beast. Amen. That's the first stage. The second stage is when Jesus comes back, and that's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 8. And he says in verse 8, and the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. You see, the Antichrist will be destroyed when Jesus comes back. Okay, let's go to verse 1. Let's go very quickly. Verse 1. Are we on verse 1? Okay. Alright, this is what it says in verse 1. Now, brothers, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. You notice what it says? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together. It's talking about the first stage. The coming of the Lord and our gathering together unto him. That's the first stage. Then in verse 8, it talks about the second stage when he comes. The Antichrist, when he rules on this earth, Jesus will come back with his saints. That's you and I will come back, and he will destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. In verse 8, it says there, it says, and then the lawless one will be revealed. You know, that is the Antichrist, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. You see, Jesus will come back at the end of the 7 years, and he will take over this world governments. He will take over, he will destroy this world system, and he will take over. The Antichrist will be destroyed, and Satan will be cast into the lake of fire for 1,000 years during the millennium reign of Christ. I don't have time to tell you that. One of these days I'll tell you. I'll teach you through. Okay, it's an interesting study. But now I just, you know, giving you that as a background. It's very important for us to understand that Jesus is coming back first for the church and then for the world. First for the church and then for the world. God loves us so much that he will remove us from the world, then judgments will fall, 21 judgments, amen? And the Antichrist will rule, then at the end of the 7 years, Jesus will come back for the world. And that's when he comes and rules with his government. Amen. And now, I just want to touch on something that Jesus gives us, some points that he gives us concerning his return. And let us turn to Matthew chapter 24. I know that I should really be talking about the signs of his coming and the different seasons and stuff like that, but we don't have time in this one message. So I just want to take us very quickly into three things Jesus talks about concerning about preparing for his coming and three basic things. So I just want to touch on that very quickly. So Matthew 24 verse 36, the first point I want to bring to us is this, and of course this is obvious, we must be alert now. We must be alert now. In verse 36 to verse 39, this is what it says, but of that hour, Matthew 24 verse 36, of that hour, of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father also, my Father only. Let me tell you something, no one knows when Jesus will return. Hallelujah, everyone. If anyone tells you that they know when Jesus is coming, that's a false prophet. If anyone tells you, pastor or brother, Jesus is coming on such and such date, let me tell you, that's wrong. Because the Word of God says that the angels don't know, not even the Son knows, only the Father knows. If anyone tells you about the three moons, about the five moons, about the winds, about the predictions, about this, about that, let me tell you, they don't know. Only the Father knows. And in verse 37 it says, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. You notice that? No one knows. As it was in the days of Noah, it will be in our day. No one will know. So we must be alert. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah preached for people to turn from their sin and serve God. People mocked him. People made fun of him. And I can tell you something. Can you imagine somebody building this huge ark and talking about a great flood, you know, worldwide flood, and people just thought he was crazy. So people turned away from him until the floods came and carried Noah and his family away and destroyed the world, destroyed most of the people. Just like in our day, all over the world, the gospel is being preached for people to repent of their sin and turn away and to come to Jesus. But people are turning away from the preaching of the gospel, just like in Noah's day. But let me tell you some good news. Jesus is going to save us from the floods of judgment that is coming. Just like it was in Noah's day, when the floods came, the ark carried Noah and his family to safety. Before the floods of judgment comes, Jesus is our ark, and he will rescue the church before that happens. Are you with me? Hello? Jesus is going to save us. Jesus is going to come back before the floods happen. But we must be alert. The basic message was about righteousness. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 to 3, the Bible says that if we have this hope in us, we will be made pure. That's what John says. Those of us who have this hope of his coming in us, we will be made pure. This hope purifies us. Do you know that when I was first saved almost 30 years ago, this is almost 30 years ago, I would hear about the second coming of Jesus almost every second week. Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. And the church that time lived very holy. You know, we had altar calls. People came up, they were crying at the altar call. People were repenting, coming on their knees, and they were repenting before God. But over the years, the word of repentance and the word of his coming back began to go less and less and less. You can go to almost any church in the world today. Hardly anyone talks about his coming again. This is why the Bible says, those of us who have this hope in us, purifies ourselves. When you know Jesus is coming, you'll keep yourself pure and holy unto the Lord. You know, in the early days, early church, 2,000 years ago, when the New Testament church was founded, whenever they said hello and goodbye, they never said, hello, how are you? Goodbye, see you later. They didn't say that. You know what they said? They used the word called Maranatha. They said, Maranatha, Maranatha, Maranatha. That word is a Syriac word meaning our Lord comes. Maranatha, our Lord comes. That was the early church greeting. Whenever the church said, hello, brother, Maranatha, brother. Goodbye, sister, Maranatha, sister. So it was a constant reminder of the coming of Jesus. I say, no wonder the church moved with such power and authority, because the church was reminded of his coming. The church had that constant hope in themselves that our Lord is coming soon. And they kept themselves holy unto his coming. And because they were holy, the Holy Spirit moved with signs and wonders. Maranatha, everyone. I preached this sermon, not the same one, but I mentioned about Maranatha many years ago in this church. I can tell you something, almost everybody forgot Maranatha, except one sister. She is not here, I think she's in Sunday school. Sister Lucy. For many years, I can testify today, for many years after I preached that sermon, whenever she'd call me, you know what she'd say? Maranatha, Pastor. Whenever she'd say goodbye, Maranatha, Pastor. Always Maranatha. So sometimes I wanted to say, okay, see you later, Sister Lucy. When she said Maranatha, I reminded myself, oh, Maranatha, sister. She always said Maranatha to me. Has she ever said Maranatha to anyone? To anyone? Put up your hand so we can all see. Amen. So she said Maranatha. And she kept saying it over the years. When I look at this sister, I realize something. She's one busy sister. You know, she works for the airline, has a flight attendant. She is so busy. You know what she does? Even though she's busy, she finds time to look after 5 kids club program through the month. 5. She runs the kids club office. She looks after the Sunday school, makes sure that they have the lessons out, make sure it's running well. She helps look after the youth program. And then she comes to the Life Runners if she's in Nandi that morning, if she's not flying. And then if she's in Nandi, she sings in the choir. I say, no wonder her life is so fruitful for Jesus, because she constantly has this hope in her. Maranatha, Jesus is coming. Amen. And so the church must be in a place where we remind ourselves that our Lord is coming soon, on a regular basis, just like the early church. And so I want to encourage the whole church. When we greet one another, let's stop saying the Pentecostal greeting. Pentecostal greeting is praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord, sister. Instead, let's just say Maranatha. I think that is more fruitful and productive. Let us remind one another regularly that our Lord comes. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. The second point that I believe Jesus is reminding us this morning is in verse 40. Some will be left behind. Some will be left behind. If you look at verse 40 and he says, then 2 men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. 2 women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch ye therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Some will be left behind. I know that in this church age where we preach a lot about grace, we preach a lot of good stuff mainly, we don't like to hear that somebody might miss, somebody might not be saved. You know, but the issue is this, we have to face reality that some will be left behind. I can't tell you who will be left behind, but I hope through this message we will all make sure that our lives are all in order. That we will make it when the trumpet sounds. When Jesus appears in the clouds, will you be the one who will be taken? One will be taken, the other will be left. Billy Graham said this. He said, we are to wait for the coming of Christ with patience. We are to watch with anticipation. We are to work with zeal. We are to prepare with urgency. Scripture says Christ is coming when you're least expecting him. Coming as a thief, he said, be prepared. Get ready. Prepare to meet your God. Are you prepared? When I was much, much younger, as a young boy, we had a house in Suva. We were staying in Suva with my family. I was a young boy. My dad decided that we go out camping for a weekend. So we were so excited. So we loaded everything into the car. We had a small Datsun car. We loaded everything. And we went up to Volai Suva. I don't know if you know the place. It's a nice camping ground. Rain trees. It's got the waterfalls. Lovely place for camping. So our family enjoyed the whole weekend of camping. When we went home, we were full of joy and everything, but soon as we stepped into the door, we were shocked because in front of our eyes, our house was messed up. The clothes were strewn around the floor, you know, food was scattered in the kitchen, the pots were out, everything was just dirty, filthy, you know, rubbish was all over the place. We had not expected it, but some thieves had come into the house when we were away. We did not expect them to come. On the wall on the opposite side of the living room, there's a wooden wall. They had taken our spear, multi-pronged spear, and speared the wall with it, and they wrote down in lipstick on a glass cabinet below it, next time leave some money. My dad was so upset. We were so shocked. But you know, if we would have known what hour the thief would have come, we would have prepared better. And our Lord Jesus Christ will come at an hour when you and I do not expect him to come. I was thinking about this message this morning and sort of this anxious thing came into my heart and I began to say, Lord, I trust you. I was thinking about Junior and Zara. I was thinking, man, you know, Lord, if I go, I don't want to see my children being left behind. What a tragedy it would be if I get taken and Zara be left behind. She'll have to face everything on her own. How much responsibility I realize now that is weighed upon me to make sure she's taught the word of God. How much responsibility it's upon my shoulders now to teach our children the word of God. Every morning I wake up, the good news is this. When I wake up, now I can wake up, you can wake up. When you realize that Jesus still hasn't come back, if you see your husband or wife still there, whew, he hasn't come back. But if you see them there, but he has come and taken the lot home, then you're in real trouble. But if he hasn't come back, every moment, every morning you wake up and your eyes open, it's another day to preach the gospel. Before he comes. Every morning you wake up and your eyes open and you haven't gone yet and you know you haven't been left behind. It's another day to preach the gospel. So my encouragement to you, use every opportunity that you have to share the gospel with somebody else. The final point is the way we live makes a big difference. The way we live makes a big difference. In verse 45, it tells us, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the first example, we find that the servant is faithful. He does what his master has given him to do. His master goes away for a long time. When his master comes back, he finds his servant has been faithful with assignment that he's been given. That's for all of us. Jesus, our master, has given us an assignment for us to be faithful in what we call to do. The second servant is unfaithful because his master goes away and he thinks to himself, maybe my master will delay his coming. He thinks his master is going to take a longer time. So what he does, he goes and beats his servant and he lives wickedly and evil. There are many in the church who actually live any way they want without any fear of the Lord. Without any acknowledgement that one day they will be accountable to Jesus. We have to live a life of holiness and obedience to God. You know, I know that in John 6:47, Jesus gives us the assurance that when we believe in him, we have eternal life. Amen, everyone. But I want to tell each one of us this. Do you really know that you have been born again? Because if you have been born again, the Holy Spirit will come into your life and change you from inside out. Hello, everyone. I'm a firm believer in that we are saved by grace through faith. But I see with my own eyes that many who say that they are born again are not living the lifestyle. And I wonder to myself, I say, I wonder how they were born again. How can they call God Father? Maybe their DNA is different. Because our parents have sinful DNA, naturally. So when we're born with sinful DNA. So we carry on the lifestyle of sin without even feeling guilty. But one day, Jesus makes it different when he gives us his DNA. Jesus' DNA allows us to live the life of Christ. And the only way we receive Jesus' DNA is when we are born again by the Holy Spirit. That is when we have a new DNA in our lives. A new spiritual DNA. When Jesus comes into our hearts and changes us from the inside out. See, the danger is I can preach this kind of message and I can preach to you when you haven't really been born again, haven't really committed your life to Christ and been changed by the Holy Spirit. I can preach to you and you can go and try to change your life in your own strength, in your own sinful nature, you know, without you even being born again. Amen. You see, the change must not come from the outside. The change comes from inside by the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you from experience because I grew up in a church home. I was baptized as a baby. I have a blue certificate at home saying that I was baptized. I grew up in a Christian home. I sat in churches like this, listening to the sermons. I went to the youth meetings. I went to all the church meetings. But you know something? When I grew up from Form 4, Form 5, I was out in the nightclub. Sunday morning, I was in church. Thursday, I was in the nightclub. I considered myself a good Christian. I tried to live a good life. I thought I was living a good life. Did some stupid things. But one day, when Jesus came into my heart, I listened to the gospel message being preached by a man from Argentina. He preached, and his name was Luis Palau. He preached the gospel, and I was sitting in the crowd. I was listening to this man of God. And something happened in my heart of hearts. I said, yes, Jesus, I want this. Yes, Jesus, come into my life, change me. I realized that I was a sinner. I realized that my going to church all my life wouldn't save me. I realized that I wasn't really a good person. I was a sinner before a holy God. And when he began to preach that day, I realized, man, I'm going to hell. I realized what a sinner I am. Then I realized that God loved me enough to send his son Jesus to die on that cross to save me. I told the Lord, Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner. Please come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. I will follow you for the rest of my life. I can tell you something. When Jesus came into my life, nobody had to tell me, stop going to the nightclub. Nobody had to tell me, stop doing these bad things. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. I tell you something. From the inside, I just changed. Nobody had to force me and take me by the hand to church. I wanted to go to church because the Holy Spirit was working in my heart. Amen. My DNA had now changed from the inside. Hallelujah, everyone. I am amazed when some people, they can, come to church once in a month, once in a year. I was thinking, man, are you really saved? Are you really born again? I hope I'm not condemning you. But this is the reality. You cannot call God your Father if you're not really born again on the inside. And if you're really born again, no one has to force you to go to church on a Sunday morning. No one has to force you to go and tell somebody about Jesus. There should be something burning in your spirit about doing something for God. You can't keep still. You can't keep quiet because there's a change happening inside of you. The very life of God comes into you and changes you from the inside out. You know, world religions tell you, no, as long as you wash your hand, as long as you wear the right kind of clothes, as long as you say the right kind of things, you will make it. You will have a good life and you'll go to heaven. That's not true. You cannot change your life from the outside. You change your life from the inside out. You must be born again. You must acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you need Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, and turn away from your ways and give your life completely to Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believe on him alone for your salvation and you will be saved. Amen, everyone. Are you really saved? Turn to your neighbor and ask them, are you really saved? Ask them, are you really saved? Are you really saved? Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming soon, very soon. But when he comes, he knows those who are his. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you are the sheep of Christ, you will follow Jesus. You don't need pastor to be pushing you to church. You will come on your own by the Holy Spirit working inside you, working. The life of God is pulling you to serve God. We don't have to call you. Please, sister, can you come to the women's meeting? Please, brother, can you come to the men's? No, you will be calling. Brother, when is the men's meeting? I'm missing the men. Where is the women's meeting? Amen. Because the life of God is working. Amen. I want to have that kind of life always. I don't want God to have to force me to go and serve him. He willingly died on the cross for me. So I must be willing to serve him by the Holy Spirit working in me, drawing me, leading me to serve him. My DNA has changed. Your DNA must be changed also. If it is still the same, you need to change your DNA. How do you change it? Surrender your life to Christ today. Tell him, Jesus, I surrender my life. Why? Because I don't want to miss when you come back again for the church. I tell you, you don't want to be left behind when he comes. That will be the most awful experience for anyone left behind. And my encouragement, make up your mind today. Where do you stand before the Lord? Amen? Okay, I want every eyes closed, every heads bowed. And I want to just challenge you today. Do you know for sure that you are born again? If you are born again, have you allowed your spiritual life to grow cold before God? Have you been giving excuses about serving God faithfully? Don't wait till it's too late. When the trumpet of God sounds, nobody knows when. Jesus will come like a thief in the night and take his church home. And so I encourage you, are you truly born again first? Have you taken Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, repented of your sin, and have chosen to follow him for the rest of your life? Have you lived a faithful life before God, or have you been giving that kind of, you know, I'm busy, I'm sorry, I can't come to church, I can only come to church when I'm finally free, maybe in 2 months' time or next month. You know, there's something is wrong. Something is wrong somewhere. And so we need to serve the Lord faithfully. It's not only about coming to church. It's about the lifestyle we live before God. Is it holy? Are you pure before God? Are you living holy and hot for Jesus? Are you burning with fire in your heart for Christ? Do you really love him with all your heart? If there's, you know, if it's no, then something is wrong. Something is missing, and we need to make it right before the Lord. So I'd like to just open the altar at this time.